Great. Day number two complete. Was a bit of a lazier day, which probably is okay to help with the jet lag. Still following the Garmin and jet lag suggestions, seem to be working fine. Had an easy morning while Brent was finishing up some work. We chatted on and off a bit, checked out the bikes, then had lunch together. After lunch, I waited a bit, then went for a run. I felt pretty good, but when I started the running, after about 5 minutes, my heart rate just spiked up and wouldn't come down unless I walked. So I run walked. Garmin scheduled me 55 minutes of a run. In the end, I just did 30 because it was incredibly hot. It was actually hard to breathe because of reasonably local forest fires. It was just smoke in the air, which probably contributed to my heart rate spikes, both of these factors. So it's probably not just jet lag. But yeah, I mean, I did the run, that's what matters. Was a reasonably nice area to run in terms of views. Just run through a forest along the river, but the surface was really harsh. It was either really sandy or just like stony, like full of pebbles. The edge of the river and the riverbed itself, also where it's dried out and you can cross in the sections, it's just pebbles, big and small, pretty rough. And then running through the forest itself, there are actually no paths here. This is pretty a wild area. It's not really tamed in any way, so you're kind of, it's almost like finding your way through some bushed over and forested over areas without, you know, any paths or roads or anything. So yeah, the reason I turned around where I did as well was not because I felt tired or I felt like I don't want to keep running. It's just I couldn't really find an agreeable path to keep going forward in the direction I started. So yeah, maybe next time I'll go a different direction. I'll ask Brent and we will devise a better planning route that will let me go a little bit longer. Because I know he did some like 10K stuff and he wasn't going in small loops. So there's definitely a way to go somewhere further. I'm just not familiar enough with the area. Yeah, and then after I came back, we finally got going on the bikes. So the KTM I got lent by Vans is basically brand new. I rode it up and down the hill here just to see what it feels like, and it's great. It's super light, super easy to move. The handlebars are very straight and wide, so very easy to control the turns. But yeah, I didn't go far, and it was a gravel road, so I didn't go fast either, just checking that it runs and starts and stops. The chain needs cleaning and lubing. It looks like it hasn't seen any action in a while. Spots of rust on it. So yeah, we're gonna go and get some proper chain cleaner today in town to clean both bikes' chains, and we already have chain loop to then loop them afterwards. So that's that. Brent's bike, that's a whole other story. So Brent's idea was that we have to replace the one broken indicator light. The light itself is fine. It's just the rubber gasket, like the rubber housing on which it is attached to the rest of the bodywork, is broken off. So, like in a pinch, we could just tape it, really. But we do have a second spare bike. Basically, he has a second identical bike that is a non-starter. That should have the light we need that we can just transplant. I tried to remove the broken one initially, but it was non-trivial slash non-obvious, and I gave up until we take a closer look together, because I think instead of just removing the light itself, which is what I tried, you have to follow the power lead of it into whatever junction box it's plugged in, somewhere behind the headlight, behind the plastics. So we'll deal with that later. And the other thing that Brent said we should do is remove and clean the carburetors. So we started disassembling the bike. To get to the carburetors, we need to remove the tank. And the tank had to be drained anyway. So yeah, a few minutes later, we had the tank off. It's pretty easy. Then we realized you can't easily really remove the carburetors without removing some other bits and bobs. So we started disassembly. We opened the air box. We found that something was trying to nest in there and ruin the air filter. We hoovered all the all the rest of the air filter, which was just like fluff from the entry kind of cavity of the air box. Removed the filter, added a new filter to our shopping list. And basically went to drain the tank. So the tank has basically 1 or 2 year old fuel in there at this point, so it definitely had to be drained. Surprise, surprise, that also didn't quite work. The fuel tap with the little handle that lets you open the tank and then put it into reserve wasn't draining. So we ended up just removing the tap altogether, drain the tank, which was easy enough. Then Brent decided we should probably, while we're at it, take the little tap apart and see what's inside, see why it's not, while the fuel is not flowing, basically. Took it completely apart, cleaned it out. All the little components, when they were laid out and splayed out separately, had flow on their own. So we put it back together and it doesn't flow again. So I'm not really sure what it is. Brent's not really sure what it is. Not entirely anyway. So our best bet's gonna be to again just steal the tap from the donor bike and hope that one drains. At least we have parts. We have spare parts to go around. So we should eventually get there. Yeah, so next stop tomorrow, which is now today, we should receive a new front tire. The front tire needs to be replaced. The back tire has to be swapped from the old bike to this bike, so we're gonna have to drive into town with all the bits and pieces, maybe even just the whole bike on a trailer, and drop it off at the garage and have them swap the tires, balance the wheels. And then we'll also ask them about the fork seals, because the fork seals on this bike also look pretty tragic. And I mean, it will work in a pinch, but it's definitely not great if they start leaking, or even worse, if they already have leaked all they could in the past. And there's not much more to leak. It's gonna be a problem for the forks. So yeah, there's definitely a lot to do on this bike, and more than Brent led me to believe remotely. But I was fully expecting that, so it's okay. Well, yeah, in summary, we had a pretty nice lad's day out in the sun fixing some bikes. Yeah. progress has been made. I think we'll get there in the end. We'll probably be able to ride bikes together sometime next week. And if not, then I can still ride my KTM already. So everything's good. That was pretty much the day. So yeah, see you tomorrow.